GM 2.0.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. It's one of the largest bankruptcies in U.S. history, and it may turn out to be one of the speediest. General Motors filed for Chapter 11 a month ago, and a federal bankruptcy judge has already given the okay to GM's restructuring plan. It would have GM sell its best assets to a new company, but there might be some speed bumps ahead, as Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
Judge Robert Gerber says GM can sell Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC to a new company. The majority of that new automaker would belong to the U.S. Treasury. Canada and the United Auto Workers would own the rest. That new company, also called GM, would be taken public next year. The ruling is eliciting howls of protest from GM's many creditors. And consumer groups have their own beef. They object to a provision that frees the new GM from liability claims that predate the bankruptcy filing. That means anyone injured or killed by a defective GM car before June 1st would be less likely to receive full compensation. The groups have until Thursday at noon to appeal. The government said it would pull its bankruptcy financing if GM doesn't wrap up the deal by the end of the week. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Oil prices are on the move this morning, down to less than $65 a barrel, which doesn't sound so bad. Remember last summer? Oil prices were more than double that. But the main reason crude is getting cheaper is that the global economy is slowing, which means less demand for oil. And those low oil prices have markets sliding overseas. London's FTSE is down 1.1%. Germany's DAX and Paris's CAC 40 both off more than 1.5%. Not looking much better in Asia. Tokyo's Nikkei index fell 1.3%. U.S. markets were closed Friday for the holiday, but Thursday markets were down. The Dow lost more than 2.5%. And the choice of a new generation is evidently Russia. PepsiCo has announced plans to invest $1 billion in Russia over the next 3 years. It's part of a major push by Pepsi to expand into developing markets. And the cola is in good company. President Obama begins his trip to Russia this morning. His plane just touched down in Moscow. It's Obama's first visit to Russia as president. Nuclear proliferation is on the agenda. So is the economic relationship between the U.S. and Russia. Marketplace's Steve Henn has more.
Clifford Gaddy is an economist and a Russian expert at the Brookings Institution. He says when it comes to trading relations between the U.S. and Russia, there's not a whole lot going on.
I think it would surprise most people to know how small they are.
The U.S. does more business with the Netherlands, and U.S. firms do roughly twice the business in China in a single month than they do in Russia over an entire year.
At the same time, this also tells us that there's great potential, there's great untapped potential.
For example, both the U.S. and Russia could benefit from greater foreign investment in Russia's oil fields. More Russian oil production would lower global prices while boosting Russian revenue. But for now, all that seems unlikely. Just 3 weeks ago, Russia withdrew its long-standing application to join the World Trade Organization. Gaddy believes Russians were fed up that its WTO membership application was bogged down by non-economic issues like its invasion of Georgia. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
The NBA Summer League kicks off this week. 21 NBA teams will compete. The event is meant to show off the league's younger talent. There is a limit to how young that talent can be, though. NBA draft rules dictate basketball players can't go pro until they're at least 19. Business of Sports commentator Diana Naya joins us to talk draft age limits. Hi, Diana.
This teenager from Spain named Ricky Rubio, he can shoot the lights out of the ball, pass the lights out of the ball. And the new rule of the NBA, instituted back in 2006, is that you can't come right out of high school anymore, which was Kobe Bryant and Tracy McGrady and Kevin Garnett and a lot of the great players of the last 10 years came right out of high school because that's what they were born to do. And Ricky Rubio just falls under it because he is going to turn 19 in the calendar year of his draft. But you know when he started playing professionally in Europe? He wasn't even 15.
Well, it seems like having a limit on age might be a good thing, giving the kids a chance to go to school. How is it potentially a bad thing to make them wait a little bit?
You know, it's fair enough if you're talking about an entire generation, a whole population of people. You know, kids should go to college. You know, I'm sure you and I believe that. But on the other hand, it would be an understatement to say that it takes an exceptional player to make it out of high school right into the pros, into the elite of the NBA. And we can name them on just a couple of hands, the exceptional players who over the last 10 years, we mentioned Kobe and Kevin Garnett. These guys didn't want to go to college. They wanted to make that money for their families before their knees got injured. You know, the lifespan in these leagues is very short.
Yeah. What is it? I know in football, it's like 4 years or something like that.
Yeah. It's certainly under a decade. You can say that for sure. And, you know, what other profession? Are you only going to have 5, 6, 7 years to make all the money that you can possibly make?
Do the colleges benefit from having these kids there for a year? Is that maybe part of the motivation for the rule?
I think David Stern wants to prop up the NCAA. This is his training ground of all these players, and he wants to give a wink to all those top college programs to say, don't worry, we're not going to take the young kids. We're going to shove them right into the NCAA, and all you people can make millions of dollars. The coaches, as you know, most of them make more than the presidents of the universities.
How likely are they to raise the draft age to 20? Is that something that's really likely to happen or just something that's on the table?
They don't call David Stern the czar for nothing. When he wants to implement programs, it gets done. So I don't know that it'll happen this year, but I think that if Stern wants it done, it'll get done.
Marketplace Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad. Thanks, Diana.
Stacey, my pleasure.
Is 19 too old? Let us know what you think. Send us an email, letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.